Welcome to the Ron Lanton Report. I'm Ron Lanton. This is where we examine how policy, pricing, and trade reshape healthcare markets and what that means for leverage and capital strategy. On today's episode, is healthcare consolidation reaching its limits? Let's start with something simple. This week delivered two signals that are easy to miss if you're only watching the headlines. First, the Supreme Court continued signaling limits on agency authority. Second, pharmaceutical trade posture reinforced that tariffs are no longer just about supply chains. They are becoming economic levers. Now, on the surface, these look like separate developments, but structurally, they're connected. Both suggest something more important. Policy is beginning to shift leverage across the healthcare system. And when leverage shifts, capital adjusts. That's the pattern. For most of the last decade, consolidation felt inevitable. Health systems grew larger. Physician groups rolled up. Payers integrated vertically. Private equity platforms expanded across specialties. If you were building strategy during that period, you would assume that scale would simply continue. And to be fair, scale did bring some efficiencies. When you're negotiating with fewer, larger entities, contracting becomes a lot more centralized. Volume forecasting becomes more predictable, and distribution planning feels a lot more stable. Thus, channel strategy feels durable. But that stability wasn't neutral. Simplification for one part of the system often meant reduced flexibility for another part of the system. Now, as organizations grew, negotiating leverage became a lot more concentrated. Independent pharmacies felt this. Smaller provider groups felt that, and technology platforms also felt that. So the story wasn't just about efficiency, it was about bargaining power. And concentrated bargaining power tends to attract scrutiny over time. That's where we are today. You can see it in break up big medicine proposals from Congress, in renewed antitrust posture, in PBM reform pressure, which is much needed, and judicial signals that narrow agency authority. Now, none of these developments dismantle consolidation overnight, but taken together, they introduce friction into something that once felt automatic. And when something that felt inevitable starts to look conditional, then strategy changes. Now, there's another layer to this that's very important. Consolidation didn't happen in a vacuum. It wasn't just corporate ambition. In many ways, it was a rational response to complexity. Now, over the last 15 years, reimbursement rules became a lot more intricate. Compliance burdens expanded, reporting requirements increased, and contracting structures became more layered and rebate-driven. Thus, the system became harder to navigate. Scale simply was not about dominance. It was about survivability. Larger organizations could absorb compliance infrastructure. They could simply hire specialized teams. They could model reimbursement volatility, and they could negotiate from a position of strength. But smaller entities could not do that. So consolidation wasn't purely about leverage. It was about insulation. Insulation from volatility. Insulation from regulatory unpredictability, and insulation from regulatory risk. But insulation creates asymmetry, and asymmetry eventually draws attention. So here's the rhythm of it. The system becomes a lot more complex, so organizations get bigger to manage that complexity. As they get bigger, then leverage concentrates. And once leverage concentrates, political and regulatory attention follows. That attention introduces a lot of friction, which changes behavior. Not overnight, and not dramatically, but gradually enough that the assumptions people relied on start to feel less certain. And when assumptions feel less certain, capital adjusts. That's the moment that we're entering now. Not a collapse, not deconsolidation, but a simple recalibration. Let me make this practical. Imagine a manufacturer executive team sitting in a quarterly strategy session. The CFO opens with a slide on Medicare Advantage exposure. Margins are flattening, CMS rate growth is modest, and forecasts are tightening. Then someone raises trade posture. If tariff pressure introduces input cost, even incrementally, then gross margin assumptions shift. Now the conversation changes. It's no longer just, how do we grow as an organization? It becomes, where are we exposed? Are we overly concentrated in vertically integrated payer systems? Are rebate structures durable under tighter spreads? Do we diversify channel exposure? Do we simply rethink launch sequencing internationally? Now, from the sound of that, no one in the room is panicking. They're simply recalibrating, because sophisticated operators don't react to headlines. They react to shifts in leverage. Consolidation created efficiency, but it also created concentration. Trade pressure introduces cost variability, and reimbursement compression tightens those margins. And when you layer all of these together, the question isn't whether consolidation continues, it's whether it continues under the same assumptions. And when those assumptions change, then capital flows much differently. So knowing all of that, let's take a look at this from an investor lens for a moment. If you're underwriting a multi-state physician platform, you're not just modeling EBITDA growth. You're underwriting reimbursement durability, contracting leverage, regulatory posture 5 years out. And if policy signals suggest integrated models may face tighter scrutiny, then that valuation math shifts. If Medicare Advantage reimbursement flattens while cost pressure rises, projected margin expansion narrows. And that doesn't stop deals from happening, but it changes the pricing. It also changes debt assumptions, and it changes exit timelines. So in other words, modest policy signals influences capital deployment strategy. That's why these conversations matter beyond compliance. They matter at the portfolio level. And we saw that recently when major health insurers experienced stock declines after CMS proposed keeping Medicare Advantage rates nearly flat for 2027 at a roughly 0.09% net increase. Now on paper, that number seems small, even probably listening to this. But markets don't react to percentage of the headlines. They react to what they imply. Medicare Advantage margins are sensitive to reimbursement growth. When CMS signals that growth may flatten, even modestly, compression risk then enters earning models. And when earning models adjust, valuations of companies move. What you saw wasn't panic. It was a simple recalibration. Flat reimbursement means tighter spreads, and tighter spreads require operating discipline. And operating discipline affects acquisition appetite, and acquisition appetite influences consolidation momentum. Policy doesn't have to swing dramatically to move markets. It just has to alter leverage just enough. And in Medicare Advantage, reimbursement is leverage. So step back. Judicial posture, trade signals, consolidation scrutiny, Medicare Advantage compression. These are not isolated events. They are signals about where power sits and whether it's beginning to rebalance. Now, healthcare is not unraveling. It's becoming more conditional, a lot more sensitive to policy signals, a lot more sensitive to capital discipline, a lot more sensitive to public scrutiny. And when power concentrates, strategy stabilizes. When power shifts, strategy adapts. And executives who recognize that shift early don't chase headlines. They model scenarios. They test assumptions. They diversify their exposure. And then they adjust deliberately. Because stability is comforting, but leverage is dynamic. And power in healthcare shows up in pricing authority, contracting leverage, distribution control, reimbursement durability, and capital allocation. And power moves markets. I'm Ron Lanton, and this is the Ron Lanton Report. Remember, Don't chase the headlines. Catch us next time.